If Lands Could Kill, featuring Knife City, A Quickness, Bright, and Hot Sauce.
What's up, everybody? This is If Lands Could Kill. I'm Knife City.
I'm A Quickness.
This is Reich. Hot. Proxy Sauce.
Oh, yeah. Boom shakalaka. This is episode 11. So what's been going on with you guys since we last spoke, right?
Holy shit, we're on number 11 already?
We're on number 11.
That's crazy. I can't believe it. It's been like, what, 10 years now?
Yeah. Well, doing the episode last time on a Monday, it's like it shortened the
Oh, yeah, it was on a Monday, huh?
So it felt kind of weird. They're like, oh, when are we going to get for the podcast? What, wasn't that just last
week? Yeah, I felt we just did a podcast, but can't have enough podcasts.
We're real weird, though, that we don't do one every week because everyone else does one every week.
Yeah.
No, that's so hipster, dude.
Yeah.
Not in us.
Breaking the mold.
Yeah, bro. We're not sheep. We don't follow.
My mustache is not handlebar enough for that. Oh, man. But yeah, I've been up to just getting this wedding stuff taken care of. We're actually, today is Saturday. We're actually going to go do some tuxedo fittings.
Yeah.
Actually, suit fittings. We're not wearing tuxedos, but it'll be fun. But I've just been steam sailing it. There's a summer steam sale. Oh, my God. My wallet is crying. Luckily enough, I've already bought all the good games from the previous sales. But I got a game I picked up, I think it was last week. I picked up Rocksmith 2014. It was like $15, but I ended up pretty much almost paying full price for it because I had to buy the little cable for your computer.
What the fuck is Rocksmith?
Oh, you don't know? That's perfect for you too.
Yeah, Rocksmith is it's kind of like, you know, like a Guitar Hero, but for real guitars.
What?
So you teaches you how to play like real songs, and you play, you know, like I was playing fucking Pour Some Sugar on Me by Def Leppard and like learning.
I thought
how to
it was
play
like
that.
A game about like archaeologists or something.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Rocksmith, you're like smithing rocks.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a blacksmith, you're forging rocks.
Like, oh, this whatever.
Valerian rock.
This Veldspar rock is too rocky.
So how does it judge like the accuracy?
Yeah, so essentially you buy for Steam, because like it's really for like, I think it was originally for like Xbox or PlayStation or whatever.
Exactly.
So you buy it, like the box set of it would come with the game, the disc, and then it come with like, I can't remember, it's like a Rocksmith cable or like a,
it's USB to a quarter inch.
Yeah, right, so right, it's right. Like, so you plug it into your guitar, right, and then you plug it into your USB port or your computer or your PlayStation or whatever, and then it literally like sends the signal from the electric guitar into the game,
nice.
And it'll recognize like whatever tone you're playing or whatever string you're playing, and it knows from that. And it's cool because like I'm fucking playing along, right? And if I'm on the wrong fret, it'll like have these little arrows saying like, "Oh, move up a fret. You're playing the wrong fucking note." You're like, "Oh shit, I gotta go up," and then a note, and it's just fucking. It's fun though.
So if you're out of tune, like you lose the game.
Well, yeah. Well, every before you start a song, it has you tune your guitar on the game.
Nice.
So it'll like say if you're in drop D or that's different standard tuning. It'll have you tune your guitar and make sure your guitar is in tune before you actually start playing the song.
It's pretty badass. Our buddy Kyle, he bought it like the 2013 edition, and he was mentioning that it was like amazing, but that there is still a little bit of lag in the interface, you know, where
right,
when you hit the note, it's just super minute, but that's what's like troublesome is that in a Guitar Hero game, they're able to like project the image before the sound or sound before the image, and you can adjust that. But if you're playing in real time with a real guitar where you cannot adjust the what comes out of the guitar, then you can't. You know what I mean?
Right,
so
right.
Like that lag is just imminent. You have to have. I don't know what it is.
There's a delay. Like there is kind of like a thing where you can do that. But for me on the computer, I have zero lag.
Okay, well that's
like,
perfect.
It's instantaneous. Okay. Like there's no lag at all. So it's
I'm
actually
sure the game is
nice.
Very
it's probably like a way to configure it.
Yeah, because I mean, some like if you're playing like an LCD TV, I think that's kind of an issue where it's like the response time or something like
right.
that.
Right, LCD
really, it's
is
kind
bad
of weird.
Stuff, yep.
But I mean,
CRT and then
for my zero, LED. Like 0.01 whatever fucking response time monitor, it's not a problem at all.
That's awesome.
Nice.
It's really good though. I mean, it's so fun. Like because you can start off because they have like a called like a riff repeater or something like that. So you can like target a specific like say you want to learn the intro for this song. You can play it like at like half speed or like whatever. It has a scale from like 0 to 100 for speed, how it goes through it, and then for difficulty 0 through 100. So it'll start you off like say I only want to do like a. Like half the difficulty, so I'm only playing like maybe one note for every three notes that's actually played in the song, just to kind of get you in the rhythm of like how to play it. And it's a, and then you just kind of go up, or you can have the riff repeater automatically scale you up for speed and difficulty as you play through. So, like, say I get 100% at 50% speed and 50% difficulty, then it'll kick it up, like, another 10% or something like that, and keep doing it until you're playing, like, the song completely, like, 100% speed and difficulty.
So does it have, like, tabs flying across the screen?
Yeah, so you see your guitar, your whole guitar neck on the screen, right? And it has each of the five strings
right.
in different colors. So, like, the high E is, like, a red, and then, like, the A string or whatever is, like, a yellow, and then, like, your B string is, like, blue, or, you know, just different color yeah. differences. And it has these little, like, these little bars that come scrolling through the screen that show you, like, what fret you're supposed to be playing on and then what string.
Okay.
And then you just do it into, like, in, kind of like Guitar Hero, but there's just, you know, a lot more.
My only question is, do they have motherfucking Dragon Force on there?
I think they have something like that. I haven't looked through all the songs. I just went straight to, like, the 80s rock. I went, like, fucking straight to, like, Def Leppard and fucking Rat. Rat's on there. Rat,
round and round.
Round and yeah. round. It's badass. Goes around, comes around. But, yeah. Nice. I was just checking it out. I'm like, I just want to, like, pick one song out and then just kind of, like, learn it and, like, try to get used to the whole system. Because a lot of times I'll fuck up because I kind of, like, I know how to play guitar a little bit. Like, just not, like, very well. But it just kind of, like, trying to, like, differentiate the colors for the different strings. It's just, it hasn't clicked yet.
Right. Because
I'm not used to the system.
It's like just getting used to Guitar Hero with the colors.
Exactly.
And knowing which mm-hmm. button is which color.
Then you get the muscle memory and it's all.
Yeah. But, like, my fingers are, like, all fucking blistered. I haven't played guitar in, like, so long.
Nice.
But it's awesome. That's what's with me.
Hell yeah.
So weird.
What about you, Saucy?
Mmm.
Sausticles?
It's kind of the same thing, right? I mean,
yeah, Steam sale. Like, that's. Everything.
Yeah. No, I bought the Stanley Parable, which is like a, it's like a Myst meets the humor of Portal.
Oh, kind of Myst. Thing. Game was the bane of my existence when I was younger.
In the way that it was like, it just took over your life?
No, in the way that it was so fucking difficult to figure out what the fuck to do.
Oh, yeah, when you're
like even like when you get the like walkthrough, you're like, what the fuck?
How was I supposed to figure this out on my own?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I haven't really been touching on that too much, but
what's the game called?
Stanley Parable. It's just like it's an adventure game where you're just like walking around, no weapons or nothing like that. But it has the same feeling as walking around like the laboratories in Portal, where it has that kind of humor where it'll say something like, where you know, like Gladys in Portal would be like, if there was an award for a person that dies the most consistently, you'd, you know, win the award or whatever. You know, there's some dry shit like humor like that. So that's what the game does over and over again and just like teases the player, just like a Gladys type thing. So I got that, and I got Fez, which is nice. Like off that indie gamer movie and stuff like that. I haven't played that, I heard it's good. And there's something else that I bought, but I cannot remember.
Did you buy Payday 2?
No, I did not buy Payday.
Mm. I have Payday.
Yeah, I was thinking
Payday. Yeah, there was something else I remember bought. I bought for $6, but I forget what the fuck game it was. Who cares? Who cares? It just
you're never gonna play it.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Well, I bought Gone Home. If you're familiar with that, anyways, there's all the games I bought are all like short games, so I can actually get through them. Yeah. So they're like 2 to 4 hour games mostly, and they're all like you know $3 to $6.
Primarily just giving all my money to Gaben.
Yeah, exactly.
Our Lord Gaben. Lord Savior.
Cheapest.
Our Lord and Savior.
Dude, 99 cent store of video games. Yeah, so I did that, and then we had a little roommate switcheroo from Knife City's house to my house. So we have an African-American roommate. Exchange student. That, you know, he came into this country 28 years ago, and he just kind of hops house to house, you know, just living in attics, basements, bathrooms, garages, whatever, you know. Now, yeah, but our buddy, he's moved in, so it's good so far.
Yeah.
I'm excited all the joking, though. It's actually good. It's a good time. But right. What's up? What's up, Knifey Knifes?
Nothing much. I've been wanting to, some reason, wanting to stream lately. And so I've been streaming some, like, regular Nintendo games. Mm. And so I haven't got through all of Zelda yet, the original. But I've been streaming that. And then I watched, one of the world records. I'm not sure if he still holds the world record, but the world record for the fastest Contra run. and it's like 10 minutes and 4 seconds or something like ridiculous.
I don't think I've ever beaten Contra.
So I watched that and I was like, damn. Like, so I played it and then I watched the world record afterwards and I was like, that. I was all proud of myself because I didn't use a continue. I was like, yeah, I beat it, no big deal. And then I watched that guy just fuck shit up and I was like, man, that is. That's hard. Like, you hear him, like, pressing the button, like, super fast to, like, shoot. So, I don't know.
Some robot.
Yeah. Right. But, I don't know. It's been fun to, you know, with all the complicated games out today, you know, with Magic, you gotta think about what deck and what synergies and, or even with...
Like, two turns ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Or even, like, games like Watch Dogs or whatever, where there's a million buttons, a million things to do. It's kind of refreshing just to go back to NES.
And like A-B start.
Yeah, exactly. And it was kind of sad. I had Zelda, like, memorized since I was, like, a little kid. Like, I've beat that game like 20, 30 times in my life, and it was sad to like go back now, because I haven't played it in like, I don't know, 8 years or something, to go back now and like try and remember like, where the fuck is level 2? Like, god damn it. Or like, oh, there's a secret over here. And instead of it giving you money, they like take away money. I'm like, fuck, like I remembered where the bad secret was, not the good one. So, it's been fun, kind of, blast from the past, a little nostalgia trip, but yeah, I think I'm gonna do some more streaming since I don't have a job right now either, so I can just like not get any money from it, but just have fun with it. And yeah, and I went to the dump this morning, the landfill, which is always, I mean, that's always honorable mention. You know, it's a big part of my life now. I had to run to the dump to drop some. The old fence we had, it's just been sitting in the backyard. So I was loading up the truck today, and on my way I was listening to one of the past Heavy Meta episodes, and I was laughing so hard that like tears were like rolling down my face, and like I kind of like swerved a little bit. Like, it wasn't like seriously about to crash, but it was definitely like not helping my driving.
You have to tell the police.
Yeah.
Like, I ran over that 4-year-old and his mother because of Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, sir. Matty Studios and Jay Bush. Yeah. They were making me laugh so hard.
Not my fault.
And Kevin Metal wasn't helping. But anyways, shout out to them for just making me laugh till I almost killed myself. Which is that's pretty hard to do these days.
Admirable.
Yeah. So but what about you, Quickness? What you been up to?
You know, just along the lines of what you guys been doing, been keeping up with the Steam sale.
Good old game.
I got this game called Papers, Please.
I was waiting for somebody in this group to freaking
I almost bought it.
Shit.
I almost bought it.
We should all start playing it. I think it's hilarious, dude.
There's just something about being like a Russian border patrol agent that like, and denying people access into a country. It's just so pleasing to me.
So American.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
America,
get out of my country.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool. It gets kind of hard sometimes because you just get like, you're like, you want to get a lot of people through because that's how you make money. And you gotta make money for like your family, and they get sick, and you gotta have food, and like you gotta have like
and the werewolves steal your children.
Exactly. So you try to get them through, and then like you get like some that go through, and they're like terrorists or something like that. So eventually, like you get a gun, and like some people like try to like run past the border and bomb these people, so you gotta like shoot them down and shit.
Yeah, I've seen the little animation of them hopping the little.
So good. Like, such a simple game, but it's so fucking good. It's so genius.
And, like, just the dialogue in between, like, you and, like, the people coming through. Like, the people, like, coming through, like, never really say the same thing over and over. Like, it's always something new every single time they're coming through. And it's really cool. There's this, like, his name's Georgie. And he always comes through, but the first time he comes through, he has, like, literally, like, he drew in, like, a passport. And he tries to give to you, oh, yeah, passport, good, me go. And it's, like, literally like that, and you're like, no, fuck you, get the hell out of here.
This is on. This feels, is written with crown.
Hey, George, what are you doing? I can tell it's crayon. Get out of here.
It feels good, though, to stamp it, right?
Be yeah,
like,
yeah,
denied.
George, what are you doing, man?
It reminds me, this is, like, totally fucked up, whatever, but not totally fucked up. Anyways, when I was in, like, 8th grade... I would stay after school and grade papers with my math teacher, right? And she would, like, hook me up with, like, I don't even remember what the fuck it was. She would, I don't know. It was extra credit, but it was also, she would, like, hook up with, like, dinners.
And sex.
Or whatever. Sex, yeah. You know, 12-year-old stuff is pretty good.
Yeah.
Anyways, I remember that whenever I was grading papers, and, like, if I would give somebody an F, it, like, felt good for some reason. Like,
oh, yeah.
And this person, like, oh, 58%? And just like big old F up top, and it felt all good being like, yeah, you fucked up. And I'm 12 years old and I'm already developing like these motives and stuff. Yeah,
it's like it's good. Power control
complex. Yeah, it is.
Like we're all healthy behavior.
I know when I got on it, so I'd get like an 88 or whatever, you know. And then I'd see someone get like a 92, I'm like, you fucked
yeah.
up. I'm like re-checking every answer, like no.
Gotta get an eraser.
Yeah.
You exactly. fucked up now, Susie Johnson.
You just made my list.
Erase my name, put their name on it. Yep. Swap it up. Yep.
It's fucked up. Game's really good. I highly recommend it to anybody. It's a lot of fun. Just like you can pick it up whenever. You know, it's not something you have
to. Is it like a 2D kind of like bird's eye view or side scroller?
It's 8-bit.
Yeah,
like,
pretty much 8-bit.
It's
yeah.
like bit.
Like literally, side scroller, bird's eye view.
Well, you don't go anywhere.
Yeah, you just sit. Like you're sitting
you go in your little hut, and that's all you do.
Oh, and then like, just people like, pass you, by.
You're like 6 pixels.
Like you're literally looking at like somebody like straight on like this. Like they just walk in like this, and they're like, and you're looking at them through like your little window thing.
There's just little boxes floating by.
No, no, and you can detain people.
Yeah.
Like you know, you're denied. I don't like you detain you, and you get extra money for
I
it.
Should
like,
YouTube it though. It's really good.
It's not even 8-bit because they don't even have 8 colors. Yeah, it's like it's black, it's like red, white, and like gray.
That's yeah. it.
Nice.
And that's everything.
So it's like fucking DOS.
Yeah, it's like DOS.
So you'll Plus. See,
I saw when someone hopped the wall, it's just like this little black 6-pixel little, maybe it's a man, maybe not, I don't know. And you see the things, like the legs are like moving, but you know, it looks, you can't even tell barely. And then like when he gets shot, you just see like red.
Yeah.
One red dot and like the three vertical black pixels now will be three horizontal black pixels. And one red pixel next to it. That's it. It's really funny though.
Nice.
That's yeah. Good. And other than that, I'm playing Final Fantasy VII again.
Oh god.
Trying to do a completion run.
Number 7.
It's fucking dumb though. I started it up and there's this one part, once you get off the train, I don't know if you guys ever played Final Fantasy VII, but it's like in the very beginning, you hop off the train, it's like, you go and then one of the strategy guys said that you go to this little like train graveyard and I just run around in circles and I'm supposed to farm up like 15,000 gil, which is a lot because the monsters only give 30. But they drop an item, Ether, that you sell for 750.
Okay.
So I was doing that, and I was like 3.5 hours in, and then like, you know, somebody called me up, want to hang out. So I was like, yeah, sure. So I just alt-tabbed, and I left. Well, apparently my Windows updated.
Reset
started the computer. So I wasted 3.5 hours on that.
That's the daggers.
Because like, in Final Fantasy VII, you can't just go, oh yeah, you know, start save. You have to actually like go to a save point and then
right.
save there.
Old-fashioned.
Yeah, it's all, like old school status.
So like losing 3.5 hours of a video game
that would be like I'm done
is the worst.
Well,
but just farming.
Yeah,
like,
just going around in circles, just hitting A over and over because I know I'm gonna kill him, so I just go and just circle.
I think that's the threshold of me put like I'm fucking done with this game. Like, I was into it and then it's last round. I'm like no, I'm not gonna play it. Like, no, it's not worth it. So
absolutely
done.
Right. That was like Tuesday night and I haven't played it since.
I did some similar. That with Grand Theft Auto 5
yeah.
where the disc had like a scratch or something like that, I guess, because it kept freezing in the same spot, so I had to play this level again like 3 times and it kept freezing and walking through the same doorway and I'm like, you know what, I don't care anymore, you know, it's not quite the same because I didn't lose the data in that same way, but I just don't care anymore. Like, even though I enjoyed the game, I'm like, no, you know what? I don't even want to go try to get a new desk and return it and all this stuff. I'm like, I don't even care. I'm just going to stop playing the game. Too bad.
Yeah.
Too bad. It's you just over. Get frustrated with it, and I don't even want to go through that same scene again. That same scene's like a 25-minute thing, and it's already enough. Don't care.
Yeah, I did it with the Fear. When Fear 1 came out,
Fear was sick.
I played, like, maybe, like, 2, 3... I was, like, almost done with it, and then, like, something happened, and I was just like, yeah, I'm good. I don't even finish. I'm good. Yeah. I'm done. I just never played it again.
Oh, and by the way, I know this is a little dated, but a couple episodes ago, I was talking about Thief and what game it was like. Manhunt. I looked it up. Manhunt for the PlayStation 2, I think, is the exact same fucking thing where you just... It's a lot more demented, but it's the same thing where you're just, like, sneaking around.
Well, aren't both of them pretty demented?
I don't think Thief is demented.
No. Oh, okay, but okay. Thief's so like Manhunt.
Manhunt was Manhunt. Like, remember there was a huge like uproar about like it when it came out.
I thought you meant that Thief was more demented. That's why.
Oh no. Well, actually, I don't know. I've never played it, but I don't assume so. But you know what? I do assume. I assume we got some new spoilers for M15.
Oh yeah, we're almost fully spoiled. I think we're about halfway.
Like
one more week, I think.
We're about halfway through.
One more mythic, and then the commons.
Yeah, the commons. I think we don't.
Garruk's coming this Monday.
I heard Garruk is just going to be like a fight the Hydra type of thing. It's not going to be like a planeswalker.
Well, he has a big oversized card.
That's, I don't know. That's what I heard.
Yeah, he has
a planeswalker.
I think he is a planeswalker, but he's also a promo thing where it's like
they already have five planeswalkers. Like M14 only had five planeswalkers, one of each color.
He's a planeswalker though. They already spoiled like the board. There was a contest where they have the picture,
right,
and then they have like the layout, but they don't have any of the abilities, and like you're supposed to guess the abilities.
Yeah, but he's also he is also like the Fight the Hydra promo as well.
Oh, really?
Because he has an oversized card. Oh, okay. With it. He has like 20 loyalty or something like that, and you're supposed to fight against. It's like one player plays as Garruk, the planeswalker guy, and then you fight against another person at like your store or whatever.
Very interesting.
But it'll be kind of cool. But yeah, there's a lot of good spoilers.
Is there three new planeswalkers?
Well, Nissa is old, but she's getting a new iteration.
Yeah,
she's been around like, before. Three brand new iterations.
Jace. And Ajani.
And Ajani, and then Garruk.
Garruk, yeah. We're gonna
and then Liliana's a reprint, but...
Yeah, Liliana's best.
Sweet reprint.
The OG Liliana. It's not Liliana the Veil, but
I don't know.
Okay.
I think I'd want the older Liliana versus this new
one. Yeah. Like,
especially with Urbog in the set, where you can make all your land swamps.
Yeah.
So you can run, like, a dual color or tricolor. And then you drop that down, boom, all your swamps tap for, like, three extra... Or all your lands tap for three swamps as well.
I think it would be a little overpowered to have the old Liliana in this format.
Which
with,
one?
Like,
the three-mana one?
Liliana of
the
Veil?
Not the three-mana one. I'm talking about the one that was in M14.
Okay, that one.
That was the...
I mean, you can't search up any lands.
You can search up only swamps. Exactly.
But
you don't have. There's no more swamp cards because the shock lands are going away. So you're going
to
play.
But you have the one land that makes all your land swamps in addition.
Oh, okay. Well,
to
at least
the
you're right. You do have that. I guess that's true. That's true.
So that'd be pretty good. Especially, I mean, you can't go searching for like any land. You can search for the swamps, but it's good when you minus her because when you drop it down, now all your lands are swamps. So you can kill something like any god you want to kill. You want to kill her. And, you know, when you ultimate her, you know, all your lands tap for three black.
Yeah.
If you wanted to.
Yeah. So. I like this Liliana that's in there right now. She seems okay. Like, if they reprinted, like, Liliana the Veil in this black this mono black and, like, this black heavy format, it would be ridiculous.
Dude, that's not happening.
Although I would, like, love to have seen Liliana the Veil just because she's so expensive.
I think it's going
to
be, like, a Modern Masters thing only. I don't think that they're going to print it anymore.
Yeah, I hope so.
Know?
They only printed Liliana the Veil once, right? In Innistrad?
In Innistrad. But I think people, because like the whole thing with this M15 set is Garruk is Veil cursed.
Right.
In this, and so he's like, you know.
He's planeswalking.
He's a planeswalking, and he's Veil cursed. And that people were assuming, like, oh, since he's Veil cursed, like, oh, of course they're going to do Liliana the Veil because she has the Veil and all this crap. But I guess there's actually a card that's going to be Liliana's Veil or something like an artifact card.
Balls. But, balls to that, sir.
Or something like that.
So you want to save Jace talk to the beginning? Or for the end? Or
right
now?
Let's just jump right in.
Jace is awful.
The living god.
I mean, it might be good. I can't evaluate it because I suck, but I think it's bad.
I'm still confused on his first ability. I don't know if somebody wants to read off the cards. Let's find out what the abilities are.
Okay, so Jace is 2 blue-blue for a 5 loyalty planeswalker.
Oh, God.
So the plus one is look at the top 2 cards of your library, put one of them into your graveyard.
That's where I have the problem. It's like, okay, so you look at the top 2, you put one in the library. Where does this one go?
Into the graveyard.
My hand? No, I put one in the graveyard.
No, it goes on top of your library.
Yeah, but it usually says on the top of your life.
Well, it just says look.
So it's kind of like it's a little bit worse version of scrying.
Sure. Yeah,
there's no way that let's draw that card. It's absolutely not. It's just look at them.
Yeah, draw that card would be way good.
So, like, scrying is pretty good, but as a plus one for a planeswalker, like, that's
kind of... To scry and then possibly, like, have to... What if you got, like, 2 Sphinx's Revelations or something like that? You're like, well, dick, I don't want to put the other one in the graveyard. Or whatever, I don't know. Or you had a Sphinx's Revelation and then, say, like an Elspeth or a Supreme Verdict or something else you just needed. You're like, oh, this would help. So win the game if I just didn't do this. If I just scribe like normal, then it would have been fine. But now I have to discard one. Yeah. I don't know.
But it also does enable you to kind of almost cut your deck in half. Go from like a 60-card deck to a 30-card deck. Well, it's a filter. Deck.
So it's like, okay, so, I've, you know, obviously you run into a situation where you're like, okay, I want both these cards, but I can only get one.
Yeah.
But a lot of times you're just like, okay, well, this card doesn't do anything in this board state, so I'm just going to ship it to the graveyard.
Then you can, like, throw, like, a bunch of lands in the graveyard or whatever because you're already there or something.
And then, you know, we could see, like, a graveyard-type deal and then the next block.
It is blue and black. Yeah, that could be something.
Blue and black was normally a graveyard strategy color when they changed it because it was too overpowered.
So maybe it just simply is getting away from straight up the control that we've seen the past year. They're just going in a different direction of control.
Yeah, and a lot of people were like comparing Jace to the Living Guild pack to Jace the Mind Sculptor. A lot of his abilities are similar because, you know, he did have the Brainstorm effect, which is kind of like the Living Guild pack.
That was the other person's one. Deck, though, right?
Huh?
When the Mind Sculptor is plus ones, you look at the other person's top
two cards. Well, that's the Fate Seal, so you can look at the other person's or yours.
Oh, okay.
And then you can put it on top or on the bottom. Then he had a Brainstorm effect, which is, you know, look at the top three, put two back. And then he had a Unsummon, which is what this one has, but it was only for a minus one instead of minus three, which is... The minus three is kind of...
Tefty.
But this one can hit non-land permanents, whereas the Mind Sculptor can only hit creatures.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that is good to, like... Like, you're going to have a Planeswalker that's going to ultimate or something like that. There's some things or some kind of artifact thing that's probably going to be out. That's cool.
Yeah, exactly.
But it is minus three, so you can't use it twice from the get-go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where, like, the other Jace, it was a four, and then you can minus two, and then minus two again for all your cards and stuff. Just, like, dump out.
Yeah.
This one, you can just use it once, and then you have to plus one. I don't know.
Okay, so the minus three is return another target non-land permanent to its owner's hand. Mm-hmm. So you could blink something of yours.
Mm-hmm. I like the ultimate hand. On this card, though.
And then the ultimate is minus eight. Each player shuffles his or her hand and graveyard into his or her library, and you draw seven cards. I mean, that's pretty fucking good.
Yeah, it is. Zero cards, and you get seven.
So that might be the only thing about this. That might be the only thing, then, because you're going from five to six loyalty in one turn.
Yeah.
So you got six, seven, eight, done. Like, you know.
So,
one, two, three, four.
And there's
four
a good synergy with another Planeswalker in the set. I'm sure we'll get to in a short while, but I'll bring it up then when we get to him.
So the plus one from, like, a flavor standpoint is pretty good, just because... In the books or the e-stories or whatever, like, Jace, like, saves all the guilds from destroying themselves because he becomes, like, the Living Guild Pact. So he's, like, the highest form of authority in, like, Ravnica. So when guilds have disputes, he, like, you know, squashes it or handles it. So it's kind of like...
Like a Jedi.
Kind of like a Jedi. He kind of looks like a Jedi a little bit. But, so it's like, you know, one card... You stay in your library, and the other card goes in the graveyard, so it's kind of like a dispute between the guilds, like, okay, you were right in this scenario, and you were wrong, so one stays, one goes. So, like, flavorfully, it's all right, and will it perform? Like, I don't know. We'll have to see.
Tastes like chicken.
I love chicken.
It's Jace.
Like vanilla.
Tastes like vanilla. Yeah. Jace, this iteration is not like the Jaces of before, where they're kind of like... the all-stars of the deck.
Right.
This guy is just kind of like a workhorse. You know, he enables the rest of your synergies. He turns other cards on, makes them better, stuff like that. You're not like, you know, oh yeah, Jace Architect thought, boom, slam it, and your opponent's like, fuck, you know, downfall it right away. You know, this one's like, okay, well, he has to jump through some hoops to make this, you know, engine kind of work. So, you know, it gives you a little bit of time. It's not as powerful as soon as it hits the board.
Yeah, I like that he comes in with five loyalties.
That's pretty nice.
Since his only way is protection is instantly taking three loyalty counters off.
But, I mean, it is nice that it can prevent it, you know, somewhat protect itself by getting rid of one permanent.
What do you guys think about the new Johnny?
Johnny Steadfast.
It's pretty good.
I'm surprised that Johnny got another new reprint.
Yeah.
Because I like the Mentor of Heroes is really good in Journey. But then this one's actually, it's not that bad. I like, if you want to read do you have the Johnny up?
Oh, yeah. A Johnny is three colorless and a white, plus one, or he's a four loyalty planeswalker, and the plus one, until end of turn, up to one target creature gets plus one, and gains first strike, vigilance, and lifelink.
See, that is really good. I like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's until end of turn.
And he's a 4-mana planeswalker, so I think that the ability matches like the cost.
But I like this. What's the minus?
The minus two is put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control and a loyalty counter on each other planeswalker you control.
Yeah, so sick, right?
So, like, I think that's the first planeswalker card that interacts with loyalty counters of other planeswalkers, right?
That just screams like a planeswalker deck.
Yeah, exactly.
Planeswalker card.
There's so many planeswalkers. I was talking to Knife about this, that you can, if you have another planeswalker on the board and it just isn't, it's one loyalty short of the minus ability, you know, to ultimate or just to like Jace's, you know, return target non-land permanent to the person's hand or whatever, or Veraska's like, you know, destroy target non-land permanent. If it's at two, you're like, all right, I'm going to play a Johnny, then I'm going to minus this guy. And then I'm going to go ahead and destroy your shit. Like, it's a nice little combo piece. It gives you so much more flexibility if you're playing a Planeswalker deck. So
yeah, like, I think Super Friends fantastic. Deck is going to be, like, really nice with this new Ajani.
You can get Kiora, like, up there real fucking quick.
Fucking...
You know what I mean?
Well, that would
be sick. You can just minus two when you play it, and then minus two the next turn. So, basically, four... loyalty counters in two turns for your other planeswalker.
Yeah, that's like ultimate.
Well, like, it's ultimate right there. Yeah.
With Kiora, it's great because you minus Kiora, you draw a card, play an extra land, minus a Johnny, put a counter back on, or put counters back on Kiora. Because Kiora starts at, what, two loyalty, two, right?
So down to one.
So you're down to one, so you're kind of like, eh, it's kind of iffy if you don't have a creature. This way you get to pump some counters back up into her and get closer to that ult.
Well, that's sweet, you know, but right? I would just like it if it starts at two. All right, turn four, you bring it out. Or turn three, probably, because it's green.
Yeah.
But so turn three, you bring it out. You plus one it. So now it's up to three loyalty. Turn four, you bring out a Johnny. Now it's up to
five.
Four loyalty. Went from two to three. Now it's up to four.
And then you minus.
And then the next turn, you plus a Johnny again. It goes up to five. And then you minus in that turn. So on that'd be so three, four. So turn five, you're able to bring out the Krakens. If everything goes right.
Man.
And you're plus one-ing. You're plus one in Kiora, so you're protecting yourself at the same time. And giving plus one counters to all the whatever Caryatid and, you know,
Elfish Mystic,
yeah. Whatever, to protect too. So if you can get that combo, I think that you can bring out Krakens on turn five. It's a fucking Christmas land, but Christmas land is 5/99 Krakens.
Krakens every step.
This Planeswalker thing is happening for sure.
Yeah. Super Friends.
Speaking of Planeswalkers, Nissa World Waker.
Now this card gets me moist.
It's actually I'm pretty excited. I'm excited more of Nissa than Jace right now. Just for what's been spoiled.
Yeah.
She's got some really good interactions. Go ahead and read it.
So it's three colorless, green for a 3 loyalty Planeswalker. The plus one is target land you control becomes a 4/4 elemental creature with trample. It's still a land. So when you play it on, if you play it on curve on turn five, it's going to be tapped. You know. Yeah. So if you play it on turn six, you can protect yourself. Or you play.
Remember, it's green though. It's not going to be turn five.
Yeah, it'll be definitely a turn ahead of time, or maybe two turns ahead.
Well, I mean, like, regardless, if you play it on curve of whatever mana you have,
you're tapped out. Yes,
the land's going to be tapped.
As soon
she can't.
As you can, you're going to be tapped.
Yeah, she's not going to protect herself. But if you have extra mana left over, then you can, you know, have one turn your land that you didn't tap into the 4/4 elemental. But just like a Johnny, she has 2+1s. So if, you know, the first plus one wasn't your flavor, the other plus one is untap up to 4 target forests.
Oh, I'm so hard right now.
Mono green.
Jesus Christ, that is pretty
for herself.
Gnarly.
She's a 1-mana planeswalker, essentially, if you're playing all forests.
Right? Right? I mean, it is as simple as that. It's fantastic. And it's plus one. Yes!
That's crazy that it's a plus one.
Oh. It is, I want to say the other plus ability, your first one, is a good interaction since they're reprinting Darksteel Citadel in this set.
Yeah, so Darksteel is an artifact land.
Indestructible land coming in.
What's
Darksteel Citadel is an artifact land that adds one colorless to your mana pool when you tap it, but it is indestructible, so you cannot destroy it.
Indestructible 4/4 trample.
So
it's an artifact or
artifact land?
They had it in
M14. It's an artifact
also.
Land?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
And so
that's what I'm saying.
Nissa can target the artifact land, making Darksteel Citizen into a 4/4 indestructible creature.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bonkers.
Yeah. Balls.
That's what I'm saying. It's just like, okay, I'll take that all day long.
So I'm thinking, like, I need to get my freaking Burning Tree Emissaries out, but dust off my Nykthos plans,
yep.
Get all my Force out, and start doing some crazy mono green Hydra Nissa just craziness.
And then you could. What about turning on that black land that gives that all lands are now swamps? Because that land can't produce mana, but now it can at least be a 4/4 creature.
Ah!
Oh, it can produce mana.
Yeah,
it, when it comes in, it's a land. It says land on it too, so it all and lands.
It's a swamp.
Oh, it just still produces.
Yeah, so okay, it's just a swamp sure. though.
Okay.
But yeah, it's fucking that card. So I want to just talk about the reprints that we're getting. So what's the name of that black?
This land isn't tapped for anything.
What?
It's the legendary land. Yearburg? Each land.
Yeah, okay, so it says all lands are swamps in addition to other types. It's a land, so it turned it into a swamp.
Yeah, so now still you can't
son of a bitch.
Okay, yeah, I was totally unsure of that.
We're totally not smart.
But yeah.
No. SMRT, we are so smart.
Urbog or something.
Urbog Swamp or Crypt.
Urbog Tomb of Yawgmoth.
Yeah, whatever that is, that's an awesome reprint, because I think that's like a EDH staple.
Yeah, oh yeah.
A commander staple, and that's like a
modern too, I think.
It's like a $30 or $40 card.
Yeah, and it's, what is it, a rare or legendary?
It's a
legendary rare.
I mean, legendary rare.
There's two cards. It's an enchantment, and one's a creature. It's Blood Moon and Magus of the Blood Moon, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does, it says all non-basic lands are mountains.
Yeah.
So this is great because you play that, then you turn on some of your colors again. And it's great because, you know, it has that synergy where, you know, it shuts off. You only play like one or two basics. So it's like you're playing a heavy black deck, you play that. Now you unlock yourself from the Blood Moon, and you can cast your spells again. So,
yeah, but this card is really cool.
I was thinking there's going to be some sort of effect like that, especially since you have another card. We'll get into that says you can't play lands. It's a red one, and then black. Red black's kind of
that Minecraft card.
Yeah, yeah. Red black's kind of a a well known archetype. So like, we'll see what the next block brings.
It's going to be fun, dude. I'll tell you that much.
Just to wrap up Nissa, her -7 is search your library for any number of basic land cards, put them onto the battlefield, then shuffle your library. Those lands become 4/4 elemental creatures with trample. They are still lands.
Quicken Supreme Verdict, you win, lose the game.
I wish that said haste on there. They have trample and haste.
Dude, fuck haste, dude. Because
like, you just want to win the game right there.
I just have, 24 fucking 4/4.
I'd be broken as hell.
So what you do is Nissa, you play another Nissa, and then you untap for Forest, and then there you go.
This means I just gotta have Hammer of Purphoros out, that's all.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so moist. Cannot wait for Red Green.
Oh, and we didn't even say the -7 for a Johnny, which is you get an emblem with, if a source would deal damage to you or a planeswalker you control, prevent all but one of that damage.
Yeah, pretty nice.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Pretty fucking crazy.
Oh, but yeah, I think I'm so excited about this core set. I can't believe this core set is so good.
Literally,
it's so ridiculous.
It's so exciting core set.
Just like Journey, it's like all over the fucking place.
Because not only are we getting like good, like decent planeswalkers, we're getting like fucking just amazing reprints. We're getting like the tomb. We're getting pain lands back. The enemy colored pain lands. We're getting fucking just amazing.
Dragon creatures get +3/+3. What?
Yeah, I know, right?
Reprint a Mutavault,
Dragon's Crucible,
please?
Or whatever it is.
Mutavault, yeah, right.
I know.
5/5.
Yeah, I think dragons are going to be a thing.
Next set.
Well, yeah, coming up.
Not even the first.
Dragons of Tarkir.
Yeah.
Because one of the sets is named Dragons of Tarkir, so I'm assuming there's going to be dragons.
Yeah.
What if there's no dragons?
Unlike Dragon's Maze, where there's only one dragon.
Yeah.
No Dragon's Maze.
Well, the thing is, like, why even mention that the dragons are extinct if they're not going to come back?
Yeah.
You know?
There's got to be some play on that.
Yeah.
But,
Fuck, what was I going to... Oh, check out this fucking card.
The...
Obnixless, Unshackled, 4-colorless, black. For a 4/4 flying trample, when an opponent searches his or her library, that player sacrifices the creature and loses 10 life. Whenever another creature dies, put a 1/1 counter on this dude.
Yeah. That's a commander card for sure.
Yeah, I don't know how it's going to play out in standard, but Jesus Christ, that's pretty fucking awesome.
If we had a way to cheat him into play, it'd be pretty
good.
We've
already seen quite a few shuffle or search effects already.
Yes. So.
Hell yeah.
Which means something that might make you shuffle your deck is going to come within the next couple years or
hopefully.
So.
Brainstorm?
Something. I don't know if it's going to be Brainstorm.
Is there anything that we have right now that says that, like, you have to shuffle something?
Not right now.
Ooh, the green choose target enchantment or artifact, put it shuffle back in their library or whatever. Or is that not the same thing? No, this is searches. No, this is...
The Genesis Hydra makes you search your, like, top four cards or something like that, right? Yeah. Or however many cards you pay for.
You don't search.
That's not searching. That's just,
You reveal. Never mind.
Reveal and then put one.
Fetch lands. Anyway.
Right, for sure. But what else do we have? I thought there was something standard, maybe.
Well, I know, but I'm saying when this guy is still legal.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
We'll see how it plays out.
But
yeah, I'm really excited about the... Because they brought back something from M13, which was the, what was it, the ally or the enemy-colored creatures. So, Flint Hoof Boar was a one colorless, one green, 3-3 creature. But if you, or it was like a 2-2 or 3-3, but if you controlled, like, a mountain or something like that, it would be a, you know.
Yeah.
It was a 2-2, I think, but if you control a mountain, it'd be a 3-3 for 2 mana.
These are the ally colors, right?
I think these are the enemy ones. Or they flip-flopped them, because it used to be like...
Because this is like blue-black.
They have like Dimir.
Black-red.
Yeah.
Red-green, green-white.
So essentially there's two really good ones in the...
And white-blue. Yeah, those are enemy colors.
In the set that are coming out.
Oh, and white-blue.
Yeah, so there's a white...
Those are allied.
These are allies, because the lands are enemy. These are ally colors.
Yeah, so there's only, I think, really two that are maybe constructed playable out of this cycle that's coming up. I think it's the white one, which I think is a 2-mana... I think it's a 2/1.
Yep.
2-mana, 2/1, one and a white.
And if you control a... is it...
Island?
An island, it gets +1/+1, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it could be eventually a 3/2.
And then its ability. You pay 3 and a blue, tap target creature.
Yeah, that's a pretty good white card, I believe.
Yeah, it is. Especially in limited, too. It'd be great.
Yeah, and then the red one is also pretty good, which is the Kurd Chieftain, which I thought was going to be Kurd Ape.
Yeah.
I was so excited when I saw the art for that. I thought they were going to reprint Kurd Ape for me. But this one's, I think it's, what, 3-4 mana?
Three in a red, and for a 3-3, and then you pay 4 and a green, target creature gets +2/+2, and gains trample until end of turn.
So that is pretty good, just in the fact that it says target creature. So it doesn't have to be the actual Kurd Chieftain. So you can actually spend your extra mana. I think it's going to be really good in limited, where you can spend your extra mana and then pump up, you know, somebody after you declare attackers. Someone's always scared, like, oh, he has this extra mana and he's attacking with these creatures. Like, I could maybe block here, but maybe not, because he could just pump it and I could just, you know, get completely wrecked.
Yeah, it's limited. You know, you want good mana sinks in limited, because it's not like constructed where it's very tight and like kind of redundant, where you're gonna pretty much be tapping out every turn. Sometimes you're just like, oh, I have like 8 lands and I drew like a 2-mana spell. I'll play my 2-mana spell and that's it. This way, at least you can use up the rest of your mana into something productive.
And then the other one, I think, what's the other one? The green one?
The Sunblade Elf is.
Yeah, that's really cool.
It's really good. I'm wondering if it is gonna work out the way we want to, because you really want it to attack on turn 2 with a 2/2. What it is, it's a 1/1 for green. Sunblade Elf gets +1/+1 as long as you control planes. Creatures are 4 colorless and a white. It is its ability, activated ability. Creatures you control get +1/+1 until end of turn. So you really want it to be able to hit for 2 damage on turn 2, but you have to be playing, you know, you have to have in your opening hand, basically, forest and planes, and not just Guildgate or Scryland or whatever the hell else. So I don't know if it's going to be reliable enough to see constructed in the Selesnya aggro, but I want it to.
Yeah, I really want it.
Yeah, Selesnya aggro.
It's going to go through that period where you're going to lose the shocks, but we're not going to get the next dual land cycle to where it's like, okay, it's really good because you have the shocks. You know what I mean? So you can get both types on like turn Temple 1.
Garden. Exactly.
And it's going to be really good, but once you lose the shocks, then it's going to be like, it's going to dip down a little bit, because now you lose the acceleration, and then, you know, maybe when the next set comes out, we get like another dual land cycle that says forest and or planes on it.
Right.
Instead of just like land, and then you can activate that a lot quicker.
I do think, though, that for now, for the next few, 3 months or whatever, with Voice of Resurgence, with this, the card we just talked about, and like the Fleece Mane line and all this stuff, I mean, Slowly aggro for right now is definitely
good. Naya is going to be really good.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for my Naya to come out.
I like when a Corset comes out and then there's like that 3 or 4 months of just like craziness.
Yeah.
Where there's like a lot more cards than there should be.
A billion. But yeah, summer's going to be pretty crazy with all the legal sets. But I mean, that's... One of my favorite cards out of the whole set is definitely the ones we just talked about. But is there any other ones that you really has stood out to you guys?
I think we should go through the Paragon and Soul Cycles, since they're actual like cycles.
Let's dab on them, yeah.
Since the Soul.
Let's touch the good ones. There's
the Soul Cycle is pretty much what is M15's based around, because yeah. M15's based around, you know, Gurk. He's cursed and stuff like that. He's planeswalking. He's going all over the place hunting planeswalkers. And so they have these souls of these different planes. So yeah. Like Soul of Theros,
Zendikar,
yeah, so different ones. And, you know, they're supposed to represent these planes that we visited. And that's where Garrick's going to hunt these planeswalkers.
So without, like, describing every word off the cards, let's just go through. So like
six mana, six sixes.
There's six mana, six sixes. The black one has Death Touch, and you can return up to three target creature cards from your graveyard to your hand.
Yeah. For five mana,
and then if this card goes in the graveyard, then you can do the same thing. You exile this card from the graveyard, and then
so it's like almost return. Like a flashback type interaction.
Yeah, exactly. And then they all have the ability when they're on the battlefield, and also if they're in the graveyard, you can exile it and use it once.
So people are like referring to these as like titans, almost. You know, six mana, six sixes that do a lot.
So I think the most notable ones out of the whole set is like what the Soul of Shandalar and the Soul of Theros, and what's the artifact one? A soul of
Phyrexia, New Phyrexia.
Okay, so the
New Phyrexia is good. Theros is good.
The Theros one has Vigilance.
The green one is good.
Theros is like a super. Or either all limited bombs, but I think that Soul of Theros, the white one, would be like the ultimate limited bomb.
It's a 6/6 with Vigilance.
Commons, and just pump them up to have first strike, lifelink, and everything. That thing hits once, like the swing is so great that you're probably going to. They're not going to come back.
Yeah, creatures you control get +2/+2, gain first strike and lifelink until end of turn.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty fucking good.
And then the Soul of Shandalar, I think, is another possible constructed playable.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, the ability reads fantastic. Doing 3 damage to target player, 3 damage to up to 1 target creature for 5 mana.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like. If that was a card, an instant or sorcery speed card that was 5 mana to do that ability, I think that would be playable and limited or whatever.
Yeah.
And now that it's like just an ability, and it's you can do it from the graveyard also if you need to. I mean, that's fantastic.
So I think the green, white, and red ones are the only like possible constructed playable ones. Blue, it's
limited bomb for sure.
Seven.
Oh, they're all
limited bombs, but
like I don't know. It all depends on what cons brings us, because it says you draw a card for each color in the permanents you control. So you're not going to have a lot of gold cards in the set. So that's like one color per permanent. And if cons brings us a wedge theme, then that might make this card really good.
What's a wedge theme?
Wedge theme is 3 colors. So a gold card usually has 2 colors, representing like in Ravnica, Return of Ravnica represented a guild. So like Dimir, Celestia, things like that. Wedge is 3 colors, so you have like white, blue, black, Esper. You know, you have red, white, green.
It's like all those the commanders kind from
of like,
EDH.
Yeah, the commanders, so the tricolors. So like when you think of the blue soul, it's 7 mana to draw cards equal to the colors in the permanents you control. So that's why I think the wedge really has to be there, because 7 mana is a lot of mana.
To draw like 2 cards.
To draw a couple cards, exactly. I don't want to pay 7 mana for a divination effect, you know what I mean? So I don't think that one would be good. And
the green one looks cool. You can put a 3/3 beast.
Exactly.
I think it's pretty weak, though, to be honest. I'm not really a big fan of that.
It's a good mana sink. You know, you can play one.
Yeah,
one
furthers
thing,
your board
you have
state.
A lot of, usually in green, you have a lot of mana.
Yes.
So you can dump all your mana into it.
But yeah, I'm still like meh on it. I don't know.
The
why.
Thing is about these souls is you don't have to tap. Yes. And that's kind of huge. Especially in green, when you can just ramp the fucking shit
exactly.
out.
Like, you hopefully by green, you already have decent board state. So like you're just getting additional better board state. It's like just.
It's like, oh, I don't have to, like, you know, play actual cards into your Supreme Verdict. I'll just activate this guy and make a bunch of 3/3s and have you Supreme Verdict that way. I lose 1 card in reality, and then, but I, you know, I had, like, 5 or 6 creatures on the board, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good. I still like Shandalar.
Yeah.
It's my favorite. The red one, obviously.
Surprise, surprise.
Obviously.
Well, you know my favorite then. Theros, so there you go.
And do the Paragon cycle, I guess.
I'm looking Paragons. So basically they're all 4 mana 2/2s, and they all give other creatures of their color +1/+1, and then you can pay something and tap them for an ability. So, like the green one, you pay a forest and tap another target green creature you control gains trample until end of turn. So,
it's decent. I mean, right. I don't see myself playing them in any kind of constructed format, but definitely in limited, they're pretty good.
So the red one, red tap another target red creature you control gains haste until end of turn.
That could be really good for like a red deck or something like that.
The black one is, of course, one and a black, tap death touch till end of turn.
That's all right. That's pretty good.
The blue one is pretty good. Blue tap gains flying until end of turn.
Now that's the
limited bomb. And then I like the red one because you can play like red green in a limited setting, because usually like that setting usually doesn't work. This past meta, the red green hasn't been that great. If I drafted this card, I'd be like, all right, let me get some green creatures, let me pay a red and haste this motherfucker and come at you for five and surprise the shit out of you, you know?
No, white one is vigilance.
I think if the red one said give intimidate to your creature, I think that would probably been a little bit better.
Give unblockable for one mana. Ooh, that's a lot. That's a lot.
That would have probably been broken. You think it'd been broken?
Yeah, I thought
so. That would have made me play it in a constructed deck for sure.
Yeah. I'm also excited for turn to frog.
Oh yes.
Target creature loses all abilities.
Many people with that.
Target creature loses all abilities and becomes a 1/1 blue frog until end of turn.
Yes.
Fucking sweet.
Oh, flavor text, please.
Flavor text, a ribbit.
That's right. Ribbit.
That's pretty sick, the frog coming out of the top of the shirt or whatever.
You know, it kind of reminds me of the boars.
Oh, little piglet ones?
Yeah, the little where they're pig warriors.
All the armor's around them. There's like little piglets. Oink, oink.
Sick.
I wanted to talk about the dude, the Kifkin guy, that whenever he attacks the 2/2 Kifkin, whenever he attacks
the soldier. That's
the white one?
Gonna be
a big thing for a lot of people for a very long time.
I like control. I love control, but I might go into a creature deck this time.
White aggro with Brymaz cat soldiers.
You imagine you're bringing out, you're hitting, you're swinging with that. Okay, first of all, you brave the elements, right? This turn, you attack. You bring out Brymaz tapped and attacking, and then you bring out the other, the 1/1 cat soldier not tapped but attacking. What's that?
When you cheat Brymaz in, because you skip the attack phase, so Brymaz has to be declared as attacker to get the token.
Either way, it's up there. So you're swinging for five, and they can't block it because of Brave.
Yeah,
and you only pick one mana.
It's a good interaction, but it's kind of like a nombo because it's like, oh, it comes in tapped. Brymaz is vigilance, doesn't come in, so you can attack, declare as attacker, so they don't get the token. But I mean,
still,
I'm getting a free creature on the board. Mm-hmm. Like,
that's,
I don't
advantage
care.
For show.
I think it's fantastic. Huge that it says soldier and not human. I think that's better than saying humans.
Well, it's good because then you have the artifact that, based on the creature type, it's an anthem effect. There's other Kipkins in there. There's one really good that I like is when, I forget the name, but whenever a creature enters the battlefield, you get to untap it. So I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Especially because you're going to be cheating a bunch of creatures anyways. There's like a lot of good soldiers in Ravnica.
Shit, yeah.
So like in Boros colors especially. So yeah, I mean, Fabled Hero, we got all the Theros heroic guys going. We got the heroic guy from Journey that when you target it, you get to bring a 2-power creature back from the graveyard to the battlefield, which is, let me guess, the Kifkin guy that cheats out soldiers.
Yeah, so there's definitely something there.
And
something there.
Just want to say before we move on, they're reprinting Mine Rot and Sign in Blood. Sign in Blood is going to be reprinted. So, fucking awesome. I'll make you draw two, lose two life, and I'll make you discard it. Awesome!
I hate black players.
That's racist.
Sign on the dotted line, please, for your death.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, so what do you want to tap on? You want to tap on a little proxy?
Since we've only been playing a little over a year, something like that.
Yeah.
We haven't like jumped full into other formats. You know, we're still just into
standard and draft.
Standard and drafting.
A little bit of commander, but just playing the basics. We're not really jumping into our own strategies yet.
Yeah, we bought the pre-con, the commander sets that came out, but Everyone's talking about this format called Modern.
What?
Right? But it's expensive as a cow's dick dipped in gold to get into because all
hold on, stop. Sorry. All right, take that in. All right, okay.
Yeah. Continue.
All
right. Cow's dick dipped in gold. It's what I'm going to name my first child.
Okay.
So they call it a barrier to entry, meaning the cost to get into Modern is pretty steep. Not as steep as like Legacy or Vintage or anything, but just the lands alone, the fetch lands, they run anywhere from like what, $40 to $100 depending on Modern season or whatever.
Fetch land you're getting.
Or yeah, which colors you're getting.
Obviously blue is going to be the highest.
Right. And then so that's just like the fucking lands. Like I was just looking at well, I think it was a Jun deck online. It was only like $2,000.
Only.
Yeah. Only.
And probably half that's the mana base.
Yeah,
like exactly.
Like a good one third of it, at least. Yeah. Two thirds.
So us wanting to fucking like play it without having to like sell off our fucking sperm till we're dry, we just started printing up proxies. Well, actually, I haven't, but why don't you take it away quick on what you proxied up?
Yeah, he's the one that kicked it off.
Or actually, why don't you explain to us what a proxy is?
So a proxy pretty much is, there's multiple ways you can come about getting a proxy. The way I went about, there's a website that you can go to, and then you type in the card name, and you hit generate proxy. So what it does is it puts out 9 of these cards, is like the images you'd see. It prints them out in 9 cards at a time on 1 normal sheet of paper, printer paper. And then so what you do is you cut each individual card out, and then you can take like a basic land or, you know, some magic card, and you can glue it on there, or you can throw it into a sleeve just kind of loose so that the image that you printed is over the actual land card. So it's like replicating a real card. But you don't have to go buy it, pretty much.
So it's just pretty much just a card that we print out so that we can play.
Yeah, so people can read what it does. Because, you know, I've seen a lot of people, what they do is they take a basic land and they take a Sharpie and write the name on it.
Yeah, or a piece of paper or something.
Yeah, so if people like are really familiar with...
this is an O1 something.
Yeah, so if you're really familiar with the format and know what the cards do, then, you know, that might be okay for you. But like we were saying, we're new to this format, so we don't know exactly what the cards do. And you know, like some of these older cards have really awesome art to them, and I like it a lot. So it's just nice seeing it.
Could we take these cards to a Modern tournament?
Hell no.
So there is a thing, you cannot take these cards to tournaments, but there are proxy tournaments. So they're few and far between, and hardly anybody does them. So if it's a proxy tournament, you're allowed to use these. But if you go to a tournament, you're not allowed to bring proxies with
you. Yeah, even like Friday Night Magic, like they don't let you do proxies.
Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
Think, so.
You have to own the actual like real.
It can't be a sanctioned event, like a Friday Night Magic sanctioned event.
Exactly.
But for just like us sitting around, us four, just like, you know. Wanting
you
to
know,
play, check
casual,
out this format.
With your friends, you know, it doesn't
really
matter.
Yeah, we highly recommend it for even, you want to play Standard, you want to play any format, yeah. Legacy, whatever.
I mean, even Standard. Standard's a lot of money. And, you know, we all think of, you know, we see these high price tags with Modern and Legacy. But, you know, with Standard, you have a lot of cards that rotate out fairly often. And so you spend the same amount of money. It's just over a longer period of time. Whereas, you know, you buy into Modern or Legacy, you spend a lot upright. But then again, you don't spend hardly anything after that.
Yeah.
So it's like it equals out in the end. But either way, either direction you want to go, you want to make sure what you're spending is what you want to play.
Costs a lot of money.
So
no
like,
matter what.
If you want to spend $200 on a Standard deck, you know, print it out, play it a couple times. Do I like it? Yeah. Okay. Then I spend the money. Or if you know I want to spend, you know, $1,200 to $2,000 to buy a Modern deck, I want to make sure what I'm playing. Is what I'm going to be able to play for a couple of years at least.
Yeah, you're not going to like, I hate this deck, like, I never want to play it again. And then like, oh, I just spent $2,000 on it, like, what do I do now?
And so, I mean, we all want to eventually get into Modern. I think the majority of us are going to wait until they reprint the fetches, because
those are pretty much one of the most expensive cards.
That's the most expensive part of any deck, is, like, the lands. So, but, so we just want to kind of dip our toes in, see what we're going to be getting into when the fetches do come out. So why don't you guys tell us what you printed up?
Yeah, just up front, I want to say I'm in fucking obsessed with Modern.
Yeah, this right.
Past, like, week. Like, I've been, like, dying to play. So I printed a Maliripod deck, which is essentially, it's a combo. It's a kind of utility deck where it has, it does have a combo where you can win the game through a combo, but also it has good beaters. So you can just, you know, get in for damage and just win that way. But the main thing about this deck is it revolves around a card called Birthing Pod. Which is a pretty much a way
broken.
a way to cheat in cards. Essentially, it's if you want to look it up, there's a lot of text on it. I don't really want to explain like in detail.
So pretty much, you have a 2 converted mana cost creature out on the battlefield. You pay 2 mana and you sack it, and you get to bring out a three mana converted.
So cost you can pretty much like just keep going up the line of creatures until you get the creature you want.
Whatever the converted mana cost, whatever creature you sacked plus 1 is what you get to bring out.
Yeah, it runs a bunch of like a good like mana dorks, like Noble Hierarch, which is an awesome card. It's like a $50 card. It runs
Exalted on it.
Yeah, Birds of Paradise, which tap for any mana. But the combo is pretty much getting Birthing Pod out and then getting into what they call a Kitchen Finks, which is a card that lets you gain life when it comes into the battlefield. And it has a thing called Persist, which essentially means if it dies, it leaves the battlefield and comes immediately back in with a -1/-1 counter on it.
So it's like the opposite of Undying.
Yeah, and then if it dies the second time with a -1/-1 counter, then it's pretty much removed out of the game and it doesn't persist anymore.
And you see all the persists, all the creatures have an Enter the Battlefield effect. This is pretty much what the deck's about, you know, Enter the Battlefield.
Yeah, all about Enter the Battlefield. And then there's why they call it Maliripod, because there's an all-star card called Malira something something, which essentially it's just like a 2/2 creature, but it says that all of your creatures cannot have any -1/-1 counters on it. So it pretty much allows your persist creatures to be sacked and killed and brought back into the battlefield infinite times. So you can either do infinite life or
infinite times in the same turn.
In the same turn. Because if you have a creature called, I think it's Viscera Seer, which is, it says it's a 1/1 mana, 1 black mana, 1/1, where you sacrifice a creature and scry one, but you don't have to tap Viscera Seer to sacrifice a creature, so it allows you to sack unlimited amount of creatures that turn. And you could just pretty much just sack all your Kitchen Finkses and gain a million life. Or there's another card called, what is it, Madcap?
Murderous Redcap.
Murderous Redcap, which every time it enters the battlefield, target player or creature loses, it does 2 damage to target creature or player. And it has Persist on it as well. And if you have Malira out, you can essentially just sack the Murderous Redcap a million times and do a million damage. So that's the kind of the combos it has. But it does have good creatures. Just like Kitchen Finks is a 3/2. It's a good beater. It has a bunch of other like gain life creature. It has like some flash-in creatures.
Eternal Witness.
Yeah, Eternal Witnesses. It does. I mean, it's a really good utility deck. Because if you can't get your combo on, then you have good creatures just to attack for, you know, a ton of damage. But that's pretty much Maliripod. I think it's one of the best modern decks out there right now, or the most broken, the most played.
Infinite combo sounds broken.
So, but I mean,
multiple infinite combos,
multiple ways.
Yeah, and it's like a $1,600 deck in real money, and I don't want to pay real money.
It cost maybe like three, no, not even like $2 in inkjet ink.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm having a lot of fun with playing this. I mean, it could be banned eventually, like the Birthing Pod. I think it's like kind of like on the radar for maybe a ban. But I mean, for right now, it's a lot of fun. I mean, I've been like obsessing about this deck. Like, I've been like this whole week. I can't wait to get together and like play this. It's kind of sad.
So, what about you, Sauce? What'd you print up?
It's simple. It's called Red Deck Wins. It's 1/2 and 3 mana burn spells for creatures that are essentially burn spells, and that's the end of it. I mean, you just like I have to you mulligan until you have a turn 1 play, which will be
a goblin
that comes out. It's 2/2 haster. When it does combat damage to a player, that player reveals the top card. If it's a land, they get to put it in their hand. So it has a downside, but it doesn't matter. And all the downsides in these cards, whether they do damage to myself or they give him cards or any of this crap, doesn't matter, because all I'm trying to do is bring his life total to 20/0 in 4 turns. That's it. 4 or 5 turns. And if for some reason Mr. Reich over here cannot get his Birthing Pod combo started, or a chain of life gain to bump him up and slow me down, then he is dead. Yep. Like, for example, we just played like 4 games just for fun, even though we don't know how we're doing yet, and this red deck won all 4 games. Yep. Because
completely ran me over.
Just because it does nothing but win on turn 4 or 5, and if you can't do anything about it, then that's just it. So, yep. He has to make sure that he mulligans to the he knows what I'm playing, so he has to mulligan to the perfect set of cards, and then he'll win every time.
But yeah, he has to. The Lyrapod has to get the combo off.
Yeah, I have to get those kitchen finxes and, you
know. Whereas the red deck wins, it's just to your face, no combo.
It doesn't care about what your opponent's doing. Yep. It's just like, I'm going to kill you regardless of what you do.
I could draw my seven with one land, and the rest of them be spells, and I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter. As long as I have mostly spells, I kind of don't even care what they are. I would like a one mana spell, but even still, you know, I don't know. It's not the most fun deck to play, but it is effective and cheap.
And it's like modern. A good intro into modern.
That's exactly where I did it. I wanted to see what they're playing and see if I can keep up along the way, rather than trying to just like muscle through the combo that I'm trying to learn while trying to watch their combo and just mess it all up. I'd rather just
try to learn like theirs first. Or something.
Yeah, I'd rather learn theirs first, and then I can move on to my own combo once I understand theirs. So, and then, what you got? What you
got, Quickness? I printed out Tarmo Twin, which is a twin variant. It revolves around Splinter Twin, and Splinter Twin, it's an enchantment. It goes on a creature, you can tap it, and you get to put a copy of a creature onto the battlefield. It has haste, and you sacrifice it at the next end step. And then I play creatures like Deceiver, Exarch, and Pestermite, which are flash creatures for 3. When they come in, they get to tap or untap a target permanent. So I put Splinter Twin on one of those guys, I make a copy, and then I untap it, and just make infinite copies, or however many copies I need to kill them, pretty much, in that turn. And it plays Tarmogoyf as well, which is really nice, because if I don't actually draw in to my combo, my creatures are really weak. They have 1 or 2 power, so it's going to take a long time to kill them. So it's nice to have like kind of like a backup plan where I can play like kind of like a fair deck strategy if I don't happen to draw into the combo. So it's really nice. And it plays like counter spells, plays some burns like
Lightning Bolt
and Electrolyze, and I play like Remand and Cryptic Command for counter spells and stuff like that. It has Snapcaster Mage.
Expensive-ass counter spells, like $60 counter spells.
Yeah, exactly. So I printed that one, and I printed
another one. Or free!
I printed another one. It's Greedran Tron, revolves around Tron lands. Whenever you have Urza Tower, Power Plant, and Mine, it produces 7 colorless mana. So what we use with that mana is we play Wyrmquil Engine. It's a 6 mana, 6/6 artifact. Whenever it dies, you put 2/3/3 artifact tokens on the battlefield, one with lifelink and one with death touch. And Wyrmquil naturally has lifelink and death touch on it. Or the other threat is Emrakul, which is a 15 mana, 15/15 with Annihilator 6. So whenever it attacks, you have to sacrifice 6 permanents. Has protection from colored spells, so you can't use a colored spell to kill it, and you take an extra turn whenever you cast it after that. So it's just
pretty much ends the game as soon as it comes out.
Yeah, once Emrakul hits the battlefield, it's like I have to have like an activated ability that can exile, or else I can't do anything to it besides chump it. And even if I chump it, I'm losing 6 permanents a turn. So that, and it plays Karn, which is the godfather, is the big daddy of all planeswalkers, pretty much. So yeah,
it's fun deck too.
It's good. It's like it can turn 3, turn 4 kill reliably. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's not as consistent as these other decks, but it has a lot of velocity, which is real good.
I'm excited to play it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I haven't printed any out, but I've been looking at some decks, and Jund looks awesome to play with. All the good stuff cards.
Dark Confidant seems like your card.
Yeah, Dark Confidant, Liliana of the Veil.
Yeah, I think you'd all definitely Jund.
I think I'm going to do Jund, but I was also looking
Rock, too.
Yeah, it's the just Rock. Green
Black, which is really good.
I was also looking at some, like, you know, less popular decks, because, you know, I like to play those fringe playable decks, but Mono Black Infect kind of looks fun. Just because to win, you know me and my alternate win conditions.
I know.
Just to win by infect counters or poison counters or whatever the fuck really they're good called.
Too.
Yeah.
And then I was also looking at Merfolk.
Oh, that's actually.
I've actually had that deck on Modo.
You know me and my tribals. Yeah. I love me some tribals. But I haven't had a chance to print any out. But I'm definitely looking forward to you know, dipping my toe into the modern meta.
Yeah, I'm looking. I like modern format. I mean, it's really fun so far. But
I just love all the interactions the cards give you. It's just it's refreshing.
It's a big break from the standard we're used to right now.
Yeah, standard right now is a lot about like play
battle cruiser,
tap creature, or like I play a removal spell and attack a creature. You know, it's a lot of that. This is a lot of like you have a lot of different angles of attack you can take and different things you can do. So I like it a lot.
Do we want to touch on the draft?
Well, I'll just let you know that we have Colin, some mystery man that nobody knows. He's on his way, but he's not. He's leaving now, basically.
Okay.
So we have time if that's what entails.
What do you guys want to do?
Do we want to push off news knowledge?
That
we can talk about the draft.
That would talk. That I think noobs would take longer than the draft.
Yeah.
So we want to do draft.
Yeah, talk about the draft.
All right, it's been decided.
We will talk about draft.
We will talk about our fun new draft that we did. We did a chaos draft, meaning we pick pretty much any three packs we want, bring them to the table, and we draft. So what packs did you pick? Hot sauce?
I believe I picked M10, Return to Ravnica, and Innistrad.
What were your reasons for picking those packs?
Well, I don't know. I was looking for something with a lot of power.
Okay.
Big, tough, ridiculous creatures. What does M10 have in it? What is like the? Do you guys know what the?
Has all the good stuff. I think that was like the really good, like core set that came out. Like
what had the Titans in it?
M12.
M12, right.
Yeah.
So anyways, I believe, my understanding is M10 had some pretty powerful stuff in it, so I got that, and of course Innistrad has, like, Liliana of the Veil and all the...
Snapcaster Mage.
Snapcaster, all that fun stuff.
We're trying to look for some good money cards.
We actually, I'll just spoil it, everyone brought their own pack of Innistrad.
Yeah, everyone had at least one pack.
So, and then Return to Ravnica, just, I don't know, we're used to playing it, so I just wanted to do that for some reason, even though it's, like, not as fun. To let you know, okay, I could have ventured off to some older formats, but I just felt like I was going to add either a Theros or a Ravnica to it just for some flavor. I thought that no one else was going to bring it, so why not?
Yeah.
Anything good? You get anything good?
I actually pulled nothing over a dollar.
Woo!
The whole money.
But I don't know. The deck overall was fine. I played. It was blue. What was it? Blue, green, and white, and I had like a couple exalted things, and just overall like big creatures and evasion and party tricks as normal. That's usually what I play.
Yeah.
So it was a standard thing. It felt more like a standard draft. Of course, the cards were all big time variation, but I drafted the same way, and you guys did not. I drafted old-fashioned way. You guys drafted appropriately, and I don't know. What do you got, Knife?
The packs I bought were M12, just for the Titans, and I think there was like one or two other good cards in there. Innistrad, of course, because I wanted a fucking Liliana, and I got a Zendikar pack.
Yeah!
Baby girl.
So, the day I got the packs is the day I got fired from my job. So I was like, and I, you know, got my last check and plus the, you know, whatever else check I, for the days I worked. So I was like, this is the last time I'm going to be able to like spend money on Magic for a long time. So I was like, I want to go out with a bang. So I was, you know, obviously it's like playing the fucking lottery or whatever.
Yeah.
But I was like, fuck it, the Zendikar pack. And I don't. What did I pull? I opened Innistrad first, and I don't really remember any good cards in there. And then I opened Zendikar second, and I pulled a Marsh Flats.
Nice.
So $40, I think.
Fetchland. That's awesome.
I hit the lottery. Not the big lottery, but like, you know, the second tier lottery.
You've pulled some good stuff. Like you pulled Brymaz one time.
I more often than not, I pull the money cards out of the group.
Yeah, you got the fucking money, dude.
For some reason, I get the jackpot. So it definitely paid off. I made my money back and then some. And then I opened the M12, and there was like a dual land. But I passed off the dual land just because there was a better playable in the deck. But I ended up playing Jund, and it was just horrible. I couldn't really, you know... First of all, I had no mana fixers. Mm-hmm. Or I had like one mana fix, kind of a fixer as an artifact. But other than that, it was just too slow. Like, Reich's deck was fast, and when Hot Sauce actually got his deck... going, it was just way better, and so I just I think I lost almost every game, every match, but almost every game except for one. But yeah, I as soon as I opened the Marsh Flats, I was like, I already won.
Yeah,
I don't care what happens. Yeah. I already fucking won. Fucking,
yeah. You made so much money. Like, that's like a $30-$40 card right there.
Yeah. So what about you, Quick?
I got Innistrad, of course.
Of course.
I got, what was it, a Mirrodin Besiege pack. I know Mirrodin had the swords in it. Unfortunately, I think Scars was the best one out of the block for that one. But yeah, Mirrodin was good. And then, I got a Alara Reborn pack. Hmm. And my reasoning behind that was, is I remember Alara was a wedge block, so it's triple color, and I was like, this is gonna just like screw everybody up because it's mostly like triple color, and like people are trying to draft two color because it's more consistent, and like I just wanted to like shake things up and screw people over, and so I made sure when we were drafting it that was the last pack I opened just to kind of like screw with everybody, and it's like, crap, well, I'm, you know, blue-black, but now I have this, you know, Esper card that's really good. And yeah, I have
these
no
aren't in my
cards.
Colors. God damn
yeah.
it.
Yeah, so got that. Good money cards I pulled. I pulled Send Triplets, which is a commander card, pretty much. It's, you know, they play in a commander deck.
And, it's a general, right?
Yeah, it's a general. It's a 3-3 for 5, and then... on my opponent's upkeep, I can target them, and then I get to see their hand. They can't play spells or abilities, and I can play cards from their hand. Mm-hmm. So it's really good.
It doesn't look bonkers, man.
Yeah, I had like
it was some pretty powerful good. Cards.
Yeah. You adapted pretty well.
Yeah, I had some cards that like when they came in or died, like I drew cards. I had cards that like were really cheap to cast or flyers, but I had to exile a creature. It was really nice because I play my guy that draw me a card when it dies or enters the battlefield. I, you know, whatever, block something, get into the graveyard, the next turn, exile it, play a big flyer. Or, and then, like, I had some artifacts as well, kind of like an artifact sub-theme, so I put, like, Sun Triplets. And then I had this one Flash Dude that prevented all damage to artifacts that turn. So, yeah, it's just a lot of flyers. I had a couple removal spells, but...
The
overall,
flyers got me, man.
Yeah, overall, Esper flyers, pretty much. And I just pretty much, yeah, was able to take the draft that way. It was really consistent. I got a really good curve with a lot of creatures. So,
what about you, Raikou-san?
I ended up bringing a pack of Judgment.
Woo-hoo!
A pack of Mirrodin Besieged.
Awesome.
And then, of course, Innistrad, because I wanted fucking Snappy. Snappy McSnappersons. Mm-hmm. But I didn't get any. I pulled... what did I pull? That was money.
The artifact?
I pulled from Mirrodin Besiege, I pulled one of the big 10-10 artifact guys. That's, I think it's like 11...
Blightsteel Colossus.
Yeah, the Blightsteel Colossus is like 11 mana or something like that. Yeah. But it's 11-11 Trample Infect.
Yeah.
Can't be destroyed, like indestructible. Like if it goes in your graveyard, like... It doesn't go to the graveyard, it goes back to your deck or whatever. Or to your library.
Yeah.
But I pretty much... That was it. I didn't pull anything good out of Innistrad, which kind of sucked. I got a fucking Ghost Quarter that got passed to me. That was like the only other good card that Quickness passed to me.
Take that. I forgot what else I took over that. It was another card, and I was like, non-basic land, there's not going to be a lot of those.
Yeah.
So.
But essentially, I just drafted a good old red-green, red-white aggro.
Blood-gray elf.
So, yeah, and I ended up picking out a Bloodbraid Elf, but I didn't get to play it. But, I mean, mine was pretty much just, like, on curve, kind of just red and white beaters. I didn't really have too much, like, good synergy. I just had a lot of good hasters and then some big creatures that had activated abilities to either do damage to a creature or player when they came to the battlefield and stuff like that. But, I mean, it was good when I comboed off on my curve, or, like, got my good curve down. I was able to take Nice City out a bunch of times.
Oh, yeah.
But then my deck completely fell flat against the Quickness. Like, as soon as he got flyers out, I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah, I have no removal.
Yeah.
That's a keyword? Oh, crap.
So I'm dead. But it was fun. I mean, I like doing this Chaos Draft. I want to do Chaos Draft like all the time.
Yeah, I definitely want to do it again. Right, it was time. Exciting. Yeah.
But
all the money we're going to save from doing proxies, now we can spend into Chaos Draft.
Exactly.
But yeah, that was a lot of fun. I definitely suggest going to your local game store, picking out completely packs that you have no idea what's in it. Just like, it could be just complete garbage, but it's still fun.
And you know, it's not that much more than like saying doing like a Theros block draft. You know, Theros block drafts like what, $14 normally. This you know,
something
you can get away with like
$20-$25,
and then you can make your money back very easily off one card if you pick the right set. So. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So, you know, if you haven't been playing Magic for a long time, you get to play with all of these older cards, you know, that you normally probably would never get to play with.
Yeah.
True that.
And especially since it seems like we're going and getting a lot of reprints.
Yeah, who knows when you'll get a playable.
You know, if you could have gotten a set that had some Pain Lands, you're already a step ahead for M15. You know, you got the Pain Lands ready to go.
Yep.
So.
Well, I guess that's all the time we have. We're going to do some noobs knowledge and time. How not to be a dick next time. If you want to hear any specific noobs knowledge, let us know. Hit us up on Twitter or any of the other crap. But, yeah, that's been episode 11 for If Lance Could Kill. I hope you have a wonderful, lovely day. And I hope dogs do not shit on your car. So, yeah, that's it for the episode. I'm Knife City.
I'm a quickness.
This is right.
Hot sauce.
Foxy sauce.
Why don't you take us out, Rick? For dinner.
Okay.
We're out. I just did it for him.
That's the worst. Never again. Just like the Holocaust.
Just never again. Okay.